Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring Mr. Movie and Mr. Film. This week, our hosts venture off to the cinema and return with their insightful reviews on The Last Airbender and Inception, with a special DVD pick of the week from Mr. Film. And now, without further ado, here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film.
Hello, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie. And for our first review, we're going to jump right into The Last Airbender, which is a fantasy adventure movie written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan. It's rated PG with a running time of 1 hour and 43 minutes. But before I begin my review, let's give Airbender a chance to speak for itself.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
All right, that's enough of that. All right. You know, I did want to like this movie. Ever since Shyamalan's The Sixth Sense, I've wanted to like his next movie, and then his next movie, and then his next movie. And I always go see them, and I'm always disappointed. But this is Shyamalan's first story that was not his original idea. It's based on the TV series Avatar: The Last Airbender, which aired on Nickelodeon. Distributor Paramount dropped the Avatar from the title because of the James Cameron movie by the same name. Now in this, Shyamalan breaks every storytelling rule in the book. It shows, and that is not a good thing. Major plot points are explained in narration by various characters that have nothing to do with what's going on the screen, and jarring cuts and lame dialogue add to the mess, making the plot almost impossible to follow. This movie does not take place in a fantasy world one wants to immerse oneself in, but rather in a pool of arbitrary assertions in which to drown. It feels like you're watching a comic book, which is really no surprise because Shyamalan has said he was heavily influenced by comic books growing up. But this is a motion picture, and you want to shout at the screen, "Show us! Don't tell! Show!" Look, I knew going in that this could be bad. Because the original idea wasn't Shyamalan's, I had a glimmer of hope. But as the train started to wreck, I gained a new perspective on Shyamalan's movies. He is not a good director. Lines are given by the actors as if they're reading without regard for punctuation, as if they don't even understand what they're saying, which makes it hard for us to understand the movie while watching it. And this is true of almost all the actors in the movie, and that means the blame lies with the director. The writing is bad, the directing is bad, the special effects are, well, they're kind of neat, and the martial arts are fun, but that's about it. This movie is actually somewhat of a joke, and in the end, Airbender is a farce wrapped in fickle. This movie exists really solely as fodder for the likes of the Riff Tracks folks, who like to record alternate audio tracks, and you can watch them with the DVD. These are the same folks who did the Mystery Science Theater 3000 movies, and I'm sure they'll do this story much better justice than Shyamalan ever could. If you want a movie about a child who is the chosen one, do yourself a favor and go rent the 1986 movie The Golden Child, starring Eddie Murphy, also released incidentally by Paramount.
This child is special, Mr. Giraud. His destiny is to save the world.
And it's your destiny to seek some serious psychiatric help.
You see, similar premise to Airbender in a way, but with just the right attitude about it. My recommendation, avoid it or rent the DVD with Riff Tracks.
Well, you just summed it up. And I think the riff tracks people probably would make at least a little more sense of this disaster. I absolutely had no idea what was going on at all. If he had followed a comic book, that would have been nice. But complete disaster at every level. I mean, you know a movie's bad when you start rooting for the bad guys and feel bad when they lose. So I totally, wholeheartedly say avoid at all costs. Save your money. Read a book. Watch the cartoon, for God's sake. But do not go see this movie.
Speaking of riff tracks and Shyamalan, there is a really great one that they did with The Happening, which is just totally hilarious, which is another, like, totally ridiculous movie anyway, and the riff tracks really do it justice.
Yeah, yeah, and at least he's keeping them in business, and we can only hope that if they do let him make another movie after this, which, if there is a God, they will not. Well, at least have a nice couple more riff tracks. They can have a box set, maybe. They can do a box set down the road. It would be quite amusing, I think.
Okay. Hopefully we have something a little bit more promising with Inception. Mr. Film, what did you think of Inception?
Mr. Movie, I have to say we're moving now from the ridiculous to the trippy. We're going to the world of Inception.
We create the world of the dream. We bring the subject into that dream, and they fill it with their secrets.
Then you break in and steal it.
Well, it's not strictly speaking legal. It's called Inception.
With writer-director Christopher Nolan's meditation on the importance, value, and destructive whole memory has, we do have a world that we want to immerse ourselves in. And this really is kind of the flip side of his 2000 amnesiac thriller, Memento. So instead of a character who can't remember anything, we have Leonardo DiCaprio's Dom Cobb, dream thief on the run, who has to pull off just that one last job. But there's a catch. Instead of stealing an idea, he needs to perform an inception. In other words, implant an idea in businessman Cillian Murphy's head, something he has done only once before with tragic consequences. So he leads a group of fellow thieves played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Ellen Page, Tom Hardy, and the group's employer played by Ken Watanabe into the realm of the subconscious, where things don't quite work out as expected, thanks to Cobb's dead wife, Mal, played by Marion Cotillard. So this may sound very convoluted, and it is, like any good dream, but don't worry too much about all of that. The 237-minute PG-13 rated film moves at a fast clip, and there's never a dull moment. Nolan is particularly adept, thankfully so, at introducing conceit, a dream thievery, for instance, with a line or two of dialogue without bogging down the whole enterprise and tedious exposition. In fact, the movie itself is one big deception, so just be warned going into that. Nolan has an agenda that's as perverse as it is effective, that offers a gut punch or a headache, take your pick, that you'll be feeling long after you leave the theater. And when you figure it out, you'll have one of those wry aha moments that seem to be lacking in most cinemas today. As a piece of cinema, the $160 million feature is a stunning blend of action and big ideas that uses the medium of cinema itself to its best effect, creating dream worlds both familiar and alien, scary and comforting, uplifting and filled with melancholy, while introducing enough complications and real danger within the story to have audiences sitting on the edge of their seats, chewing their fingernails or wringing their hands. While on reflection, the plot doesn't quite hold together in places, that's really not a bother. What dream really does anyway? Now, on the production front, I would give particular kudos to editor Lee Smith for several particularly complex action sequences that, in lesser hands, would have derailed the entire movie and broken the entire conceit. The actors are also uniformly good, with Joseph Gordon-Levitt showing once again that he has real acting and action chops. And I can't wait to see Tom Hardy in the new Mad Max reboot scheduled for next year. Of course, Leonardo DiCaprio demonstrates once again why he's an A-lister. Now, the only unfortunate bit of casting is Ellen Page, who, though serviceable, lacks quite a bit of energy. She still feels kind of like a kid. While Michael Caine makes an appearance, it's insubstantial, more of a cameo than a part at all. While I don't think Inception is the best movie of the year, it is definitely one of the most thought-provoking that will linger with you like any memorable dream. I would grade this movie deceptively inspired.
So you didn't like Ellen Page, Mr. Film?
No, I did not, Mr. Movie.
You know, I kind of did. I enjoyed it because she was cute and she was smart. And, you know, she's kind of like this nerdy girl in the corner who is heroic in a way. And so I enjoyed that aspect of it.
Yeah, I did too. And some of it all, I mean, I did, I get what you're saying there, but I think perhaps maybe some of it also could have been, and I don't want to give away any spoilers here because part of the fun of the movie is discovering all the little conceits and all the little ways that the universe works. There is, if you remember, there is one little plot point that part of that conceit that they kind of never come back to. So I wonder to a certain extent if it's less her and more her part was edited down a little bit. But the effect for me was that, yes, I did like kind of her spunk, at least in the beginning part of the movie, but she kind of fizzled out. She kind of became really a secondary character by the end of the movie for me.
Well, that's definitely true. But yeah. I thought this was an interesting choice also for DiCaprio, because his last two movies now have had similar themes of struggling with consciousness and the nature of cognition and sanity in a way.
Yeah, I think they are really very interesting that he is going that way. And I think also what I like about this movie in particular is that it is so cinematic. I mean, you could not write this as a novel. And I think I think Nolan really knows how to make a cinematic, take this and use all the best tools in the cinematic toolbox to really get into our subconscious. And movies are really, to a certain extent, the dreams.
No, that's an excellent point about the cinematic style, because in a way, this is kind of similar to a Shyamalan picture. It's very sort of alternate reality, and I always have trouble a little bit with fantasy movies and alternate realities. You have to really set the rules for your alternate universe. Otherwise, you just get lost in a bunch of arbitrary assertions, and it just feels like at any plot point, like you're just solving any problem that you create by creating some new rule of the universe or whatever. And that's, in my opinion, really cheating. And I think this movie, it didn't totally work for me. And I think because it really bordered on that line. I think in itself, it probably is consistent, but there was just a little bit too many rules going on there for me to totally get into it. And at the end, the twist, I kind of felt like it was a little bit lame. And I had a guess that might happen, and it did. And so when I saw it, the whole audience was going, whoa, they felt, you know, they were really had blown their minds. And it was like, yeah. I saw that coming from, you know, 20 minutes into the movie as a possibility. So I wasn't totally shocked by it. But it, you know, for all the reasons you said, it is interesting. And, you know, if you like this sort of thing, definitely go see it. If fantasy isn't your thing, you know, maybe wait for DVD.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you there, but I think it had a good pace to it. I think that the plot itself, the Inception plot itself, this is not giving anything away. It's in itself a big MacGuffin. It is just a window dressing to really do the real perverse thing that Nolan is doing with the storyline, with the concept. And I like the rules. I don't think that there were too many rules. I can see where you're saying that it might be just bordering, but I thought they were very consistent in the way they adhered to those rules. At least I knew what the heck was going on most of the time, or at least felt like I knew what was going on. Whereas with Airbender, I had absolutely no clue most of the time.
All right, so now we have a special DVD pick of the week from Mr. Film.
For those of you who really enjoyed Inception, is Alain Resnais' Last Year at Marienbad, released in 1961. A meditation on memory, the past, dreams, all of the things that Inception did, but even more esoterically. takes place ostensibly in Marienbad, which is in then Czechoslovakia, really filmed in France, and it's about these mysterious characters doing mysterious things, and very much like any sort of dream. And it has kept film historians, teachers, and cinema students awake at nights for about the last 50 years. So if you're looking for a graduate level course in dreams and the subconscious, last year Marienbad is your choice.
I have not seen it, but I will definitely check it out. You know, another movie that comes to mind is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. It doesn't deal with dreams, it has to do with memories, but it is definitely a quirky kind of picture, much lower budget. But I enjoyed that much more than Inception. And
it's romantic. I mean, the romance in Inception is twisted, to say the least. So if you're looking for a sunnier take on this concept, I would go with you as well. That's a good one.
All right. Well, that wraps up our reviews for the week. The Last Airbender, I gave an Avoid It or Rent It with Riff Tracks. And Mr. Film?
I give Airbender a god-awful. And with Inception, I give it a deceptively inspired.
And I recommend maybe a matinee or DVD rental. And that's it for the week. Next week, the action thriller Salt comes out, starring Angelina Jolie, and a family movie called Ramona Bezos. I think that's how you say it. Bezos?
Bezos.
Bezos. Do you know anything about this?
I have no idea. I vaguely know who Ramona is, but Bezos is beyond me.
Me too. This is the first I've seen it just looking at the schedule. But Salt looks interesting. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Manchurian Candidate sort of thing. I think that maybe that might be the one to go see if you're looking for a good thriller.
All right. Well, maybe we'll find out next week on the Movie Film Show. Until then, I'm Mr. Movie.
And I'm Mr. Film.
See you next time.
See ya.
All right, we are recording.
All right. Welcome to the Movie Film Show. I'm Mr. Film, and here's Mr. Movie.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
No, we're not doing this live.
Yeah, right. All right, so I'll just jump in with the that's enough of that.
If there is a god, we'll at least have a nice couple more riff tracks. I can have a box set, maybe.
Distributor Paramount dropped Avatar because of James Cameron, because he is not a good director.
He needs to perform an Inception.
So you didn't like Ellen Page, Mr. Film?
No, I did not, Mr. Movie. He needs to perform an Inception.
You're saying movies.
I said movie.
Yeah, you're not supposed to say movies.
I thought I was supposed to say movies and you're supposed to say film.
No, no, no. You're supposed to say film and I'm supposed to say movie.
Oh. This may sound very convoluted, and it is, like any good dream.
And it's your destiny to seek some serious psychiatric help.